We trying to behave ourselves on the story? Well, y'all know what we thinking right now.
I'm ready for the night. I got a little extra energy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth tonight.
As your kids, tell them go sit their bad asses down so we're grown folks in here talking.
TGIF.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Claudia Joy. You caught me with my last minute touch-ups, and we are back with another episode of TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready for this hot tea. All right, I can't do the show alone, so please welcome my fabulous co-host. Please welcome multimedia personality and talk show host, Funky Dineva. Hey, Q.
Happy Friday, everybody.
It's a happy Friday indeed. And please welcome brand strategist Al Reynolds. Hey, Al.
What's going on, Claudia?
How are you?
Good. What's up, Q?
Hey, brother. You looking good over there with your soft with that lilac, with that lavender.
My foxhole colors on.
Is that lavender?
I don't know. Joyce called it something.
She said lilac.
Lilac.
That's supposed to be the color of peace and serenity.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm peaceful. I'm serene.
Hilarious. All right, y'all. What y'all drinking on tonight?
Nothing. I went out last night, honey. I know y'all gonna ask me. I had one gentleman caller.
Oh.
I'm not drinking.
Just one?
Just one this time.
The whole night, just one?
Just one. But one out of my rotation. Yeah, y'all know I told y'all I'm only hunching three people for the last 4 years. It was just one out of the three.
That story changed, Claudia, doesn't it?
Lord. Okay, Q. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that you find
I don't
love.
Need prayer, baby. Save it for somebody that need it. I'm fine.
Well, you said last show that you was ready to be a wife.
Uh-oh.
You right.
Okay, so I'm praying for you to be a wife.
Thank
you can accept my prayers.
Thank you.
Al, what you drinking on? You drinking on anything tonight?
Yeah, I got a little Pinot Grigio over here. So
I'm definitely not drinking tonight. Me and my girl drove down to San Antonio last night. I'm supposed to host this little club tonight that was filling in. I don't know, some cancellation, but they have some ice issues. So we went out last night to the Kona Grill. And was sitting at the bar, and there was this cute little girl. She's 23 years old, and she had a cake in front of her by herself. She basically, her friends stood her up. They didn't come celebrate her birthday with her. So I was like, come with us. So I was buying her margaritas. And then I think 6 or 7 drinks later, I just got out of bed a few minutes ago. Like, I don't know how. Q, I don't know how you do it. I need some of your headache remedies because I feel terrible.
Well, that's why I got a membership at the IV clinic.
And you know, that's why I carried my charcoal pills that I've been trying to get you to try.
Oh, you did tell us about the charcoal pills. But no, I just roll out of the bed and go get an IV, honey. I just stick my arm out like this. Baby, I go down there. It's a shame. I go to the IV clinic so much, they put me on the membership plan.
Oh, my God.
So for $149 a month, I get 2 IVs and 2 B12 shots. So.
A month?
A month.
Oh, okay.
And then they let them roll over. They let them roll over if I don't go.
When you need a membership for that's next level. That's next level. All right, y'all. Without further ado, it's TGIF. So y'all know what y'all came here for. So let's jump into some hot topics. All right, y'all. Recently, President Joe Biden was asked if he would choose Vice President Kamala Harris as his running mate if he decided to run for office for a second time. Check out what he said.
Do you commit that she will be your running mate in 2024, provided that you run again?
Yes and yes.
I mean, okay. I don't know why that's news, but what are y'all thoughts on this response?
Okay. I mean, it left me feeling nothing. But when I read this, I'm going to tell you what I was really thinking about. And I understand that, they've only been in office for a short period of time. Up until this point, I'm just a little underwhelmed. Is that the right word? Or unimpressed? I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for them, the fireworks or something. So to be honest, one way or another, Joe and Kamala, I'm just really not caring right now.
Okay. Al, what do you think?
I agree with you on that. You know, I said it, I think was a Wednesday, you know, and it's so funny, Claudia and Q, someone who works for the administration actually called me because they watch our show and they were like, you need to know exactly what this administration has done. So they faxed me over all of the things that the Biden administration has actually accomplished. And I picked up the phone and I called her and I said, listen, the issue here is it doesn't feel like they've done anything for the African-American community. And if it feels that way, then there's got to be some truth there. We just came off the heels of a renegade president, right, who uplifted white supremacy and created a thing called MAGA. So we are looking for, and I think the reason we voted him out and supported them so much is that we're looking for somebody to stand up for our community, to be our Black supremacists and look out for the African-American community. And until we can see that in our community, we're going to have expectations that right now they're just not meeting.
You know, I don't know what the solution is for this. I really don't. We were so upset with the Trump administration and it was chaos every single day. And a lot of us voted. We knew Biden wasn't the best choice for president. Of course that. Of course he wasn't. We knew that. But it seemed like a better option than what we had. And yeah, we don't see anything tangible that is specifically for the Black community. But I will still take that over not having one that encourages white supremacy in our country. And we're a year in. Mm-hmm. And at first it felt like a few months in, it felt like it was, I did feel the fireworks with the COVID getting out of control. We can go back out. Things were starting to lift a little bit. There was some sense of normalcy. And then this, the new variant came and we're back at square one and even worse. So I don't know what the answer is. I know I don't want Trump back in office, but I would love to see some fresh meat, some fresh blood. We don't need any more 75-year-old old white men or old white men.
But the thing about it is who
do we have? Yeah, who do we have to choose?
Who do we have in the line of succession?
We have no one.
I'm like, that's your department.
I'm gonna tell you, and this may, people might not agree with this, but I always have felt like Hillary Clinton got the wrong side of politics. I really thought that if we think about persons who have held all the positions that make her most qualified to run the country and to do it better than what we're presently seeing, I think she would have been that person. I think everybody else in the party, I'm not familiar enough to speak on it, but I don't know. I don't have an answer to this one.
And the longer we get away from Hillary in office, when she was Secretary of State, the more she's demonized. And every woman that comes forward, they make the complete absolute devil. Oh, she was the devil. She was horrible. And I don't hear that same smoke for Trump. They paint her worse than Donald Trump. They paint her worse than everyone. And every woman that gets in office gets demonized and villainized, and they don't get the same grace that these men get. So I don't blame Hillary if she never wants to come back, because people, the first thing they say, I pose a question on my Twitter, it was nothing but hate. It was nothing but hate. And I'm like, well, who do y'all want? Mm-hmm. Who do y'all want? Mm-hmm. All right, y'all, moving on. Brittany Renner appeared on the Off the Record podcast with DJ Academics and the controversial host of the Fresh and Fit podcast. What can I say about what went down? I'm speechless, so watch this.
That you warn guys about girls like me. So now that we're face to face, what kind of girl am I?
You're not special. You're like other girls. That's
I'm not special.
Like,
so,
you're like other women that are.
So
like,
what makes you special then?
So are you guys in support of how Britney stood up for women? What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, she ate them clowns alive. Like when you look at the whole clip, she ate them alive. You know, those two guys, they're a little problematic to me. And I can just see all the childhood trauma just spewing from their mouths. They definitely give me, I was never cool. I was never picked first to be on the kickball team. I was always picked last. And now thanks to technology, there are no barriers to entry to anybody getting in media. And they've blown up on this podcast, appealing to other clowns like them. Because they're just corny as all hell. And then when you check them, You know what I'm saying? They want to backpedal and pussy pop, because had she asked me that type of question and said, what type of girl is you? I would have responded to gold digging whore. That's what I would have said. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to stay, baby, say what you mean what you say, and stand firm in your word while you're walking in your talk. That's what I would have said. But because they were clowns, they wanted to backpedal and pussy pop, and she ate their ass alive on their own show. That's how you do it, mama.
Did you say a gold digging what?
That's a perfect example of guys that are just kind of on the, you know, people that just kind of read a headline and just run with it. Well, why don't you defend your position?
Right.
Why is she a whore? Why should we stay away from her? Why? Why don't you give me an excuse, a reason? I'll back up your statement with some kind of facts. And these men, these no-name men, these fly-by-night podcasters that we won't even know about a year from now. I'm so sick and tired of y'all building your brands off the backs of insulting Black women. You're going to call her a whore and all kind of names, and she's so terrible. Let's look into your background and how many people you ran through, or how many abortions you paid for, pregnancy scares you've had, or STDs you've had. I'm so sick and tired of we hear of a woman be with one or two people that we are familiar with the name. They are thrown out and deemed whores and disgusting. When these men are screwing all kinds of, you know, 9-to-5ers of women that we don't hear about, but I get it's different as men and women, but like, I'm so sick of the judgment. Who are you to judge? Who are you? I don't even know these guys. And the one guy that was talking trash about her, I believe he's not even Black. He's like a Persian or something. I don't really know. But like, please stop getting on the bandwagon and trying to blow up your podcast in such a cheap way. Do the work. Al, what do you think?
You know, I agree. I agree with both you and Q, but I'm starting to like Brittany Renner the more and more I listen to her. And let me share with you why. She leaned into that narrative of being a gold digger, and she has now flipped it. She's gone from being a single mother gold digger to actually building a brand. And I'm enjoying her conversation. She appears to be smart. She knows how to use language to her benefit. I've said it before, someone is going to nab this young lady up. This woman is perfect for television. I don't know what outlet it is. I said Basketball Wives, but someone needs to really, really, really keep their eye on this woman. I think we're going to see her attached to somebody big really soon in the near future. And she's going to have a project coming out, because she has taken a very negative narrative and have turned it to where people don't hate her anymore. People are understanding her, and I'm enjoying it. Brittany, I got my eye on you. Good luck with everything.
I like her. And I'm going to just say one more thing when it comes to Black women, how we are demonized. If you want to, you dare want someone that has money to be the father of your kid. White women are groomed the same exact way. You're going to get you a Black man. You better have money. He better be this. He better have status. But no one calls them gold digging whores and all that. And they don't get the same rep as Black women do. And I'm kind of sick of it. Who should she aspire to be with? Who should she aspire to have a baby with? Like, miss me with miss me with this. I like Brittany. I think she's even better than reality TV. I think she could be hosting a show. Holla at me, Brittany.
She's too smart. I think she's too smart. I think she's too smart for reality TV.
She's brilliant.
You know, it's a good entry point, but you're right. I mean, if there's someone out here who's willing to work with her, I just want to say I called this first.
Yeah,
I like her. All right, y'all. You know what? When we come back, we're going to talk about this shady zoo with their audacity. And guess who they named their manatees after? Oh, Q. I do not know what you're going to say about this. I know. We'll be right back with more TG after the break. Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, y'all are representing in the chat. We've got 2,150.
Hey.
Going strong. That's 2,500 this show. We're going to get there, right?
No, we need 3,000.
We need to get that 3,000 bag, baby.
All right, we need that 3,000. Come on, y'all.
Well, we were 12 away before somebody went in on someone last week. We gonna be nice today, I guess. Anyways, all right, y'all. You said no? Okay, look, we have a couple comments. I never want y'all to go away. I love y'all. First time catching a live show, and I'm here for it. They are saying they want us all the time and they never want us to go away. Willie Johnson, good points from you all. Yes, do your research. And Peggy B says either Al Cutie Patootie has a clean eyeglasses or no lens. Because I guess they don't see a glare.
Oh, no glare on them. Yeah, usually I don't get no glare, but these are no glare.
Okay. All right. Well, that's your answer in the chat. All right. Oh boy, how do I handle this story? I'm just gonna read what I have that's in my script and then let y'all just handle it. Okay. The Columbus Zoo is making headlines for naming their manatees Lizzo, Cardi T, inspired by musicians Lizzo and Cardi B. Were they out of line for naming the manatees after Lizzo and Cardi B? More so Lizzo. Like, what do you think about that? What do y'all think? Was this wrong? Or are they just being cute because they're trending and they're very popular, both of them? I'm going to go ahead. I need a drink right now.
So the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Here we go.
Okay. You know, no. Listen, in 2022, I am honestly being a faithful believer in humanity.
All right. Oh,
Lord. And I didn't even mean to do that. Humanity. I didn't even mean to do that. Look at that. And I want to say that they did it because these are two of the largest artists right now.
Here we go.
That are going on in the U.S. And I want to say that it came from a good place. I definitely think that if I worked in the public relations department of the Columbus Zoo, I probably would have gave some pushback and made them reconsider the name. I mean, because she's already in the media for being a big girl and her struggles with being big. And then you go off and name a manatee after her. You know what I'm saying? Like, manatees, elephants, whales, bisons, cows, bulls, things of that sort. Those are the type of insults you hurl at a big person. So for them to name her after a manatee, I think... They should have just named one of the giraffes after her. I think that would have been more appropriate and aspirational.
How? Explain that, Keith. How would a giraffe be more appropriate? Please explain.
Because it deviates from the insult of being a manatee. Now when we get mad at her the next time she twerking, we gonna say she got a big fat naked manatee ass out there sitting on the damn. You see what I'm saying? Like, you see how that just happened?
Oh God! Is this body?
And I think they tried to play.
Next time we see her in a pool, people gonna say she's flashing around like a manatee. You know what I'm? You know what I'm saying? Now she can't even go to the beach. She's a beached manatee. Oh. It was just the wrong animal. They should have made that lady a giraffe. Ostrich. They could have even made her a pretty peacock. They could have made her a pretty peacock.
Blacko Design says humanity.
Hey.
I think they tried it, of course, and then they try to cover it up by throwing Cardi B and Mary Kate and Ashley and someone else in there to make it not look like they were exactly making it about Lizzo, and then threw in the skinny white twins and then Cardi to, you know, kind of clean it up to make it look like she's not being single. That's what y'all try to do, Columbus Zoo. Y'all tried it. Al, what do you think about this? Do you think this is a dig, or do you think they were just honoring Lizzo and her fantastic music that we hardly get to hear anymore?
She is one of the biggest artists of our time. You keep telling me about that. Okay.
Use another word besides biggest.
One of the most famous artists of our times. It's just unfortunate all along. I'm going to find a silver lining, and this is how I found it in this particular story. So the manatees, the reason why they were rescued, Q and Claudia, is because they had lost...
They couldn't find no food.
That's right.
Because their backs kept getting hit with the blades from the boat.
They couldn't find no food. So they lost 60% of their weight. So hopefully, maybe this will motivate Lizzo to stick to her diet, because she's working out very heavily in the gym.
Heavily?
She's working out a lot in the gym to lose weight. So I don't know. That's the only silver lining that I can find here. She needs to stop eating them damn Oreos with that damn mustard. Okay, there we got it.
We know one person who ain't got no problem finding out food. Go ahead to the next story, Claudia, because we about to get in trouble. go on to the next story, Claudia, because I see you trying to let this breathe. Go on to the next story.
Good luck, Lizzo.
The Fugees announced they'll be canceling their 25th anniversary tour. The tour was originally set to begin last November, but the dates are pushed back to early 2022. And now the tour has been completely canceled. The group stated that the continued COVID pandemic has made it difficult to tour and made the conditions difficult. And we want to make sure we keep our fans healthy and safe. What do you think about this disappointing news?
They lying. They telling a whole bunch of damn lies. And I don't know why y'all pressed about it being canceled. It ain't like Lauryn Hill ass was going to show up any damn way. You know what I'm saying? So if anything, she did y'all ass a favor and saved y'all some charges on your American Express card or whatever the case may be, because your ass was not going to show up anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if Lauryn Hill ain't show up to rehearsal and the promoters just said to hell with the whole damn thing and keep your down deposit money and whatever money we spent on marketing and advertising, because we don't want to be bothered with your unstable ass, okay? They're never, listen, this concert was imaginary from its inception, okay? I had a dream about it and Lauryn Hill didn't even show up in the dream, okay? So, there was never going to be a Fugees concert, y'all. There never was going to be one. And that's that on that.
I hosted a New Year's Eve party that she was supposed to be performing at. I was there at like 10. She was 4 hours late. Horrific makeup. I'm like, what is going on? 4 hours late to something that she was paid to host. So I don't know. Al?
I have nothing to say.
And speaking of clown makeup, Claudia, why she put on disgruntled makeup? It's like, I have not seen this woman. Very few pictures have I seen her smiling. Like, she always looks like a depressed clown. And something else that threw me about Lauryn Hill, since we on the Fugees really quickly. You know, when she was having all them IRS tax problems, and even now, like, Lauryn, this is how I know mental illness is real. And I'm not making fun of mental illness. Lauryn Hill, first of all, was a great actress. She's a great singer. I'm pretty sure Lauryn Hill tweeted right now, I'm ready to be in movies and TV shows. Hollywood would fall at her feet. I'm pretty sure Lauryn Hill says, I'm getting ready to make a second, third. Why hasn't she made another album? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, You tour, you do some touring, so you do need to pay your bills. Why hasn't she just made another album? It don't take 20 years to make an album.
Haven't you heard the stories, reports, I'm not sure how true they are, that she, you know, her album, The Miseducation One, was so good and the bar was set so high that she has all this anxiety that anything she makes can't be as good as that. That's what I've heard. Like,
the I read that. And she also says that it's an energy thing, right? She said that the, you know, for her, it's not just about going in the studio and making an album. She's got to feel right. She's got to be in that space. So
in 20 years, I would imagine across 20 years, the energy could be right for one song per year. Across 20 years, you should have been able to compile enough songs when the moon aligned with the stars and set with the tides. And the bees and the honey and the maturation of the willow trees to make a song or an album. Whatever, girl.
Looks like she's severely depressed.
Maybe she should just tour by herself. And so everybody who knows her, who's really a true fan, understands what that means, you know? So if it starts at 9, she's not gonna get there until later. Maybe she needs to do something solo. Because she was an amazing actor to me. I loved her acting. I thought she was the next biggest thing ever. I mean, I love her music. And I just wish she would get out of her own way.
She need conservatorship. if she had Britney Spears' daddy, baby, her ass would be out there.
She would be on that stage working every day.
She would be out there on that stage. Right.
That's funny.
I definitely loved her as an actress too. Hey, before we go, this story I just saw in the chat. Did y'all hear about the story in Maryland? Found dead in his home, surrounded by 100 venomous snakes and non-venomous snakes, and it was like a 14-foot Burmese python snake. So he had a house full of snakes, and I guess they killed him. Did y'all hear about this?
No, I didn't hear that. Mm-mm. No. So they suspect that one of the venomous snakes bit him?
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Y'all gonna learn about having these wild... Am I frozen?
No, you good.
They're gonna learn about having these wild animals up in their house like this and think nothing's gonna happen. Like, what bad could happen from this?
Well, they could have named him Lizzo.
You mean the snake?
Yeah, or the man. If he's dead and bloated, I can... Let me stop.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I'm going to save us right now. We're going to break a little early right now so we can pray for ourselves. We're going to be right back with more TGIF after this.
All
right. Welcome back to TGIF. My apologies for my Wi-Fi issues today. So bear with me. If I goes out, my lovely co-host will take over. So don't you worry. All right, guys. Last week, we celebrated the British Vogue for their historic cover featuring five beautiful dark-skinned models. But now they're being accused of reverse bleaching after social media users claim they made the models darker. One user wrote, "I am South Sudanese, and I lived here probably longer than these models, and I can assure you that there's nobody moving around looking like this. As an artist, that is not art. This is black skin porn, black fetish, reverse bleaching." Another tweeter wrote, "Casting dark-skinned people and editing them charcoal black in every editorial is not appreciation, nor is it the pinnacle of inclusivity. Fashion wants it to be, and it's becoming more and more trendy. I rest my case." What are your thoughts on these allegations, and what do you think? Do you agree?
You know, y'all, we can't win for losing. And I can't confirm nor deny if they are bleaching these people's reverse bleach, Lord, reverse bleaching. Child, get off my damn line with this foolishness. I can't confirm or deny if they're reverse bleaching, but I will say this. We live in a world where dark is considered bad. So even if they are reverse bleaching, just the fact that we're celebrating dark skin, the darkest of the dark, even reverse bleaching dark, I'm not up in arms about it. You know what I'm saying? I would prefer them to leave these women the way they look. But again, considering where dark stands in this world, I'm cool.
Al, what do you think about it?
You know, there was a reason behind it. I think we spoke about Raphael, the photographer that did this particular cover, and he was chosen because he follows those underrepresented people of color, models of color in the industry, and they intentionally made them dark in order to spark this type of conversation. Claudia, you've been a model for over 30 years, photo shoots, video, music videos, magazine covers. Do they enhance features of models? Like, I'm sure, like, from your experience, because, you know, you've been on the cover of everything damn near that I can remember as an African-American. And some of them you appear really light on. Some of them you're a little bit honey-based, and some of them you're a little bit darker. So is this anything new?
No, it's not new. I remember there was a fitness magazine that all my friends were doing, all my kind of co-stars, Price is Right, and everyone was on there. And when it came to putting me on the cover, they said that when we put black girls on the cover, we don't sell. And they didn't want to have me in there. Stuff like that happens. And if they do put one on, which they eventually did, they do make them seem what they think their viewers would be more acceptable, which is ridiculous. And in this case, Q, I'm kind of with you about we can't win for losing. Like, we're mad that we don't have chocolate women. And then when they do it and they make them look more chocolatey, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it's actually an artistic thing here. No matter what you do, they're going to complain. I think making a black model look darker is actually a beautiful thing, because for a long time they would make every model look, they would make them look lighter. Right. I think that's not a thing to first be mad about. It's I don't. Now, if you make these dark, beautiful women look lighter, I could see an issue with that, but not looking darker.
Darker, right.
Right. Isn't that what we want at the end of the day? I think we're finding we just can't stop.
We're splitting hairs. We're splitting hairs right. here. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I do find that comment funny from the fan that said she from South Sudan, and she ain't seen nobody.
They see nobody look like that.
Looking like that. Those girls are beautiful.
Right.
But to that girl's point, you know, I think you're right. Seeing people that look that that dark, to see that many of them in one place would be eye opening for me, because you know, they're rare. I have seen people that dark in the airport here and there, but I've never seen like a family of them.
And the times are changing. I mean, there was a time where people would make lots. I mean, we've probably all said things or we've heard things. And now we're at a point where Vogue is featuring the darkest models that they've ever casted and then making them look darker. I think that's a celebration of us. I don't think that's a negative. And I think if we keep complaining, we're going to lose it again.
But you know what? One point, Claudia, I think the issue is don't create a subset of us to be fetishized. Show us as we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't create another fetish amongst us, because that's not true inclusivity either. Mm-hmm. Before we get to, now that I'm thinking this through, no. But before we get to darkening people and creating stuff that don't need to be, represent the people that actually are at this point. Give us all the shades of black as it is before we get to creating new categories of black.
You know what, Q? I think you're right on this, but this is how it starts. This, unfortunately, in the fashion industry, because they've been so discriminatory in the past, is this is how you have to start it. This is how you change the narrative. This is how you then say, now, whatever I put on that cover that is of color, you can be more accepting of it, and we can still sell magazines. So I understand the mentality behind making it extreme, because a lot of them did look like charcoal, and we all know that all eight of those women did not look like that in real life. But the message that it sent to the fashion industry, the message that it sent across the world, is one that we're going to be able to benefit from moving forward. So I'm excited.
And I really don't like, in closing, the mainstream media. Like, they have a trend that's in for the time, right? So for a while it was the light skinned girl, so that's all we saw, and then it reversed the other way and it's dark, and they like, I guess you, like how y'all said, fetishize, I said it wrong, they have their fetishes about a particular shade, and then that's all they do. Like, it's tunnel vision. Right. Like, just stop making it a thing. If you find a light skinned girl, that's beautiful. If you found a medium skinned girl, that's beautiful. If you found a dark girl, that's beautiful, and she's beautiful, put her on the cover. Like, it's all like, right. It's such a trendy thing, and it feels very bandwagony, but I'm glad we do have it. So I don't know. We got a ways to go because our world is still a mess. All right, y'all. Nick Cannon hosted a male panel on Wednesday's episode of his show, Nick Cannon, with some of his friends, and admitted to having insecurities in the bedroom. Cannon reveals, I've got to tell you, I definitely have an insecurity when it comes to being intimate. I've been skinny my whole life, so therefore I've never liked to be completely naked. It's usually like I hide under the covers as much as I boast about being in shape. Do you relate to what Nick said? And if so, do y'all have any insecurities in bed?
Now, I most definitely relate to Nick Cannon representing for the skinny boys. Now, in terms of me being insecure about getting naked, in the act of sex, not so much, but I can honestly share with y'all, I didn't start wearing shorts in public till about six, seven years ago, because I was just so insecure about my legs being so skinny that I would just wear jeans. I mean, I'd be out here in Miami in 90 degree weather with jeans on. I was the kid that went to pool parties and wore pants, you know what I'm saying? I'm at the pool party in a full Tommy outfit with jeans on and sneakers, because I was so small. So I definitely get, and you know, a lot of times, granted, being skinny is a bit more socially acceptable than being overweight, but people don't understand that people who are extremely skinny and people who are overweight, they actually suffer with the same, it's two sides of the same coin. I always say nobody wants to be fat, nobody wants to be skinny. Everybody would, in an ideal world, have the perfect body type. And I think that people don't bring enough attention to the things that skinny people go to in terms of body image because it's so socially acceptable in comparison to being fat. But I relate to Nick.
Okay, Al?
You know, this is why America loves Nick Cannon. He is endearing. He's transparent. He's personable. He's vulnerable. He's sensitive. This is exactly why he has all those beautiful women, including Mariah Carey and all them babies, mamas. I mean, I can't get enough of his transparency these days. And I think it makes for great television. And Funky's right. I too have like what I think to be skinny legs. So if I had any insecurity, is one of the things that I don't do is I don't wear a lot of shorts. But I'm going to try.
Well, your legs just appear skinny because you went and got a BBL. And so you got that.
Phil, you don't want me to start talking about those daggone clotheslines that you are standing on right now. So you don't want any of this looking like the guy from the what's the guy from the Peanut Planet, the peanut with the legs?
Al, right. I'm going to spare you because you don't even know how to read, Al.
I don't know how to read.
You ain't even from that side of the tracks, Al, so don't even try. Claudia, just go on the commercial.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. Shout out to over 2,700 people up there in the live chat. Call a friend. Let's get us to 3,000. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to TGIF. I'm your girl, Claudia Jordan, with Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. All right, y'all, back to the stories. The FBI announced that Brian Laundrie confessed to murdering his fiancée, Gabby Petito, in his notebook. The book was located near his body after it was found in October. Gabby's body was found in September and shortly after Brian was named a suspect. Damn, it took them a long time to tell us what was in that notebook. That was months ago. What do y'all think about this story?
This like OJ, we knew he did it. They didn't need to tell us that. We knew he did it. When he offed himself, we knew he did it. You know, the funny thing about it is I'm less concerned about it, that notebook, and I'm more concerned about how them parents knew how to go find their body. That's the tea that I want to know. To hell with that damn notebook. We knew that he did it. That's why he got to missing and acting all suspicious. But I'm glad that at least a period has been put at the end of this sentence and that this family, that family and the world can get some closure to what was one of the biggest missing persons cases in the media for a long time.
Well, you know, it's always a huge case when it's a white woman that's missing and when these hundreds and thousands of Black kids go missing. I think 400,000 Black people a year is some crazy number. We hear nothing ever. Alan, what do you think?
I mean, I concur. Like, when the story came up, I was like, I understand that it is one of the biggest stories, but I just wish that some people of color could be one of the biggest missing stories, especially when we already know who did it. So
let me ask y'all this question. Let me ask y'all this question, because when the debate came out about the color of people's skin and the story, you know, I definitely agree with that. But I also think with this particular case that there were elements to it that made it optimal for television ratings. You know what I'm saying? And I also think that that was a factor. We always throw out the number of missing women of color, but I would be curious to also know the number of missing blue-eyed, blonde-haired white women. I would just be curious to know what that is because, you know, all of their stuff don't make the media. None of ours makes it. At least some of theirs, all of theirs don't make it. I just also just wanted to point out that her story had elements to it that made it prime for television.
I agree with you. The YouTubing, the chronicling her life with this man and all that. Not to say she shouldn't have gotten coverage. But damn it, you can't tell me there hasn't been some other interesting people of color that have amazing stories that are like, whoa, we should know about this, you know? Real quick, I'm going to just touch upon the story. Megan Good is almost single and ready to mingle. She was spotted out in public with a jersey that reads, Miss Good, if you're nasty. She also changed the name in her bio to reflect the same message. What are your thoughts on Megan's new attitude? Al, what do you think about this one?
I love this girl. She is freaking beautiful. But I got to be honest, the streets are saying Megan Good been outside way before the divorce. But, you know, the best thing I like about Megan is her transparency. She talked in that article about she is ready for a new her. She said, I'm going to stop drinking. She said, I am going to take therapy more serious. She said, I want to dive into some issues that I don't want to share with the public yet right now, but I do plan on sharing it when God tells me to. Megan, in my opinion, can't do any wrong. Anybody that looks that good will always get my support. I really am enjoying how she's walking in her truth, regardless of what it means to her and in Hollywood and what people are saying. Thumbs up to Megan.
I like Megan Good too, but Al, you love a beautiful girl and a rich black man. They can do no wrong in your book. You're like innocent.
Innocent, innocent.
But Al, we got footage of the murder. No, you are bringing this black man down. Fine. He got money.
We got rehab.
You, what do you think about
there going beautiful though. Just look at her. Oh,
I love Megan Good. She's gorgeous.
Here's my thing. Megan Good, in my opinion, is leaving us little breadcrumbs as to why they ass got divorced. Just last year, her ass was leading prayer devotionals and Bible study. And wasn't she the first lady of the church? Now you for the streets. Now it's Miss Good if you're nasty. Bitch, we always knew you was nasty. Yes. We always knew you was nasty. You ain't had no business going off marrying that damn preacher, man. And I hate to like prophesize and say I knew somebody marriage wasn't gonna make it, but I just knew that damn marriage was a farce from the get-go. Just like the one with Shawnee and that pastor that she about to get married to is not going to work. You can't take streetly people, okay? Just worldly people, sexy people, people that drank, people that got Hollywood money, that go to the Hollywood parties, people who lay up with Harvey Weinstein. You can't take them types of peoples. You can't take them types of peoples and then slap them in the middle of the church and expect them to be the first lady. It's just not going to work. It's two different walks of life. And I would not be surprised if later on in life we find out that Megan Good said she felt like she was in prison being in that relationship, because I know I would. You're asking me to change my colors for you. And that's just damn near impossible to do. So I'm glad she freed herself and I'm glad she nasty.
I think in the beginning, it's opposites attract. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure she brought sexy and fun and different to his life and, you know, wasn't dealing with the church ladies. Not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, it's different. It was sexy. It was new. And for her, you know, dealing with the men in Hollywood or professional athletes or whatever guys that she dated. And now getting a guy that was different. I could see. And he's an attractive, he's a very sexy attractive man. He really is. Like, he's attractive and that's different. So I understand that opposites attract thing. But I wonder, you know, it probably got to her after a while. I'm sure that, you know, and some of that community is very judgmental.
Listen, I think you're right. And that's why I said her transparency, because she actually spoke about it. She said, I'm going to stop drinking. That's huge for someone who was the first lady to say, I'm going to stop drinking. So someone who say, I'm going to focus on my therapy. I'm going to share with you more about my life. Clearly something was bubbling up in that relationship that, you know, made her no longer available to be the first lady and to be his wife. I can't wait to see what this after 40 is going to bring for Megan. I'm excited.
Al, will you be getting in her DMs?
You know, the funny part about this is I met Megan a couple of years ago for the first time. And when I tell you how endearing she was, like she came over to me and she was like, hey, you know, I know we've never met. She said, but I want to let you know that you inspire me. You motivate me. You've been through so much. And for you to still have your head up high, I just want to say, you know, I appreciate that. That to me spoke volumes, not only to her, to her character, but just to the basic nature of who she is. I'm a Megan fan. I will always be a Megan fan. And if sliding her DM would make us closer, I'm a slide in.
I just really want to know that part. I mean, that's cute, but I really want to know if he's gonna be sliding in her DMs.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. All right. Last commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about some good work that Cardi B did for the people in the Bronx and a whole lot more. We'll be right back with more TGIF. Megan Good, Al Reynolds is checking for you. So he's single and he in shape and he got a high booty too. So I'm just saying, what y'all want to do? We'll be right back.
Okay, stay you won't, but that's.
Welcome back to TGIF. Fellas, I got to share a comment. This guy is in the chat and he's probably wrote this about 20 times, maybe more. The Realist Ever says, this show should have been nominated for an NAACP award. I love this show. So I want to say it because I want to go ahead and claim that. People are in the comments saying that. So, yeah.
I think it's great.
Ooh, imagine our ghetto ass acceptance speech if we went up there and we won at the Image Awards. Oh, my. We got to put a muzzle on Q. Al going to be drunk and my makeup's going to be messed up. That's three things I know for sure.
Oh, Lord. Your eyelash going to be peeling off.
My eyelash need an award for trying to hang on and okay. Just, yes. Okay, y'all. Cardi B, real quick, just want to just mention this real quick. She will cover the funeral and burial costs of the 17 people who died in the Bronx apartment building fire in New York. Shout out to Cardi B for not just, you know, talking about the Bronx, but actually going back and helping out with the people. And yeah, what do y'all think about that real quick? Anything?
I just think it's great. I think it's a great move. And I think, you know, I'm glad that she's using her resources to help her native people in the Bronx.
You know, we love Cardi B because of stuff like this. I mean, she's from the Bronx. If it's knowing Cardi B, she's called a couple of those family members. She's checked in with them to see if they all right, if they got food, because that's how she is. She's personable and she's about her community. This is why Cardi B is going to continue to be blessed.
I agree. A sweetheart. This story, we were supposed to talk about it next, you know, on the next show, the following show. We didn't get to. I just forgot that we said that we were going to talk about it. A doctor who happens to be a member of Delta Sigma Theta chose a strange way to celebrate Founders Day. Dr. Nicole W. Williams posted a photo posing next to the fibroid she had just removed from a patient who happened to be a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. In a now deleted post, Dr. Williams wrote, on the 109th anniversary of the founding of our beloved sisterhood, I removed 22 fibroids from an AKA. For those who do not know, there were 22 founders of Delta Sigma Theta who broke off from an AKA in 1913 to forge their own destiny with a new organization, new goals, and a new way of thinking. Now, I get she was trying to make a play on work with the 22 and the 22, but social media users called out Williams and she deleted the post and made an apology saying a terrible decision was made. The only thing I could do in the future is to keep working hard. What do y'all think about this way that she chose to celebrate? Do you think she just didn't know better? She just thought it was cute and it didn't get what it's supposed to give?
In 1913, they envisioned something greater. Your president walked out and founded Delta Sigma Theta. I used to love when the Deltas would do that chant. You know, so yeah, sis, this wasn't the move. This was actually very, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Tacky.
It was invasive. It was unprofessional. It was, and see,
illegal.
At first, I thought the story was, I don't know what I thought the story was, but this just was wrong. It was almost kind of saying like a Delta had to save your life. Ugh, take that. Yeah. Just was wrong, sis. Sis was a little overzealous.
Yeah. Al, what do you think this way?
I thought that was the best D9 shade since that Alpha Phi Alpha went to his graduation with the pink suit on and high heels.
No, I thought the best shade is when they put them federal indictments on that capital and stole all y'all damn money. Okay.
He had his toes pedicured too.
This girl kill me. This girl, at least he bought it with his own money.
Oh, speaking of illegal and crimes, have you guys heard about this one? One of the stars of Love & Hip Hop Miami, Alvin Kelly, who was also Trina's former assistant, was arrested. He was arrested for partaking in sexual activities with a minor and has been listed as wanted by the Miami Police Department. Q, I know you have some inside, being that you are on the scene and in the radio world down there, Miami. Give us a report.
Baby, now, the story goes that Alvin was arrested for messing with a minor, y'all. But this story is just so deep. It starts with, you know, Alvin was in his early 20s and this young boy was 17 years old when they started messing around. The boy is now 24 years old. And what happens is anybody who follows Alvin online, Alvin and this boy make up to break up every 4 or 5 days. And it's vicious. It's vicious and it creates for the best live entertainment. Well, Alvin started dragging the family on the live and he drugged the family one too many times and the aunt wasn't having it. So the aunt said, you know what? What I'm going to do is call the police and tell them that you was messing with my nephew when he was 17 years old. Now, I feel a way about that because y'all was all right with it until he started spraying y'all on the Instagram, but that's a whole nother story. So anyway, after that, they decided to set up a sting. And so they had the boyfriend text Alvin and say, hey, you know, I think we should meet to talk and discuss our relationship. And Alvin shows up to the restaurant and the SWAT team jumped out and took him down. As a result of this situation, Alvin ended up, because you know, we had to dig, honey. Alvin ended up with unlawful sexual activity charge, stalking, aggravated cyberstalking charge, resisting officer, violence to his person charge, resisting officer without violence to his person charge, and then ended up finding out he had a warrant in Atlanta. Now, catch these T's. This same boy, and this is where y'all got to get out these toxic relationships. The boy had them broke up with Alvin and was messing with somebody else in Atlanta. Alvin went to Atlanta, found out where this man stayed at, called the police, told the police that he was locked up in the basement with his hands bound and tied. And the SWAT team came and kicked this man's door in, thinking that they're looking for a hostage down in the doggone basement. And Alvin was nowhere to be found. And as a result of that, they gave him a charge. And he stole some T-bone steaks from Winn-Dixie and all that other stuff.
Well, we'll probably have to cover more.
Cardia, hold on 1 second, really quickly. Now, wait a minute.
No, we gotta go out.
In the state of Florida, you can be 17, can't you?
We have 13 seconds.
In Florida.
Hey, you know what we'll do? Let's get some more facts and let's get more into it on Wednesday's show. How about that? All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Good job as always. Also, get well, Wendy Williams. You are in our wishes, our thoughts and prayers, and we hope you get better. Stick around. The mix is coming up next. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.